Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, I'm your host, Ronald Bethay, and today's date is 4/27. April 27th in the year 2022. Welcome, welcome to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know, I'm your host, Ronald Bethay, and you know, if you join us on a regular basis, you know the slogan for this show: if it's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Corporative LLC captures that power for your financial benefit. Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC serves as an economic blueprint for self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American-owned solar design, EV charge, installation, and other renewable energy companies that are African-American owned to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize Black-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the under and unemployment of young African-American men and women locally and nationally, also to educate the African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the African-American community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. It's also brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, which you're listening to over the platform of Blog Talk Radio. We can also be heard on iTunes. We are streaming over social media platforms, Twitter, Facebook, and Link. Yes, 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 ladies and gentlemen. This show is also brought to you every week by the National Association of Blacks in Solar, which you know, if you've been on this platform, that I'm serving now as the sitting president of the National Association of Blacks in Solar. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And we don't have any scheduled guests today, so you know the call-in number for this show is 646-668-2948. Once again, our call-in number is 646-668-2948. Please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number, because you will be in our green room and we want to bring you right on into our living room, set you down, and we're going to sort of have an interesting conversation about things that are going on as it relates to millennials and the Gen Z have the power of building sustainability in black communities. This was a very, very, very interesting article, ladies and gentlemen, which you will be able to find that article at Positive Change, P as in Paul, C as in Cat, and you know that's our website. That's positivechangepc.com. You want to click on our news and events tab, and you'll scroll down, and you'll see an article that was written by Tanya Foster, a student journalist with the Howard University News Service. So we want to thank this young lady over at the Howard University Hilltop for publishing this outstanding article. Eco-friendly black experience. Sustainability directly affects the quality of life of ecosystems and natural resources. The nation's Brand Land Commission defines sustainability as meeting your own needs without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their needs. On hearings, the term sustainability is a common to think about the environment, social equality and economic development are critical areas to focus on when it comes to sustainability as well. Taking a holistic approach to harmonizing environmental, ecological, social, and economic development is the only way to ensure a better future. Environmental sustainability refers to the protection and conservation of the ecosystems, our choice of transportation, how we often use energy, the products we use, and the foods that we eat, all aligned with environmental sustainability, conserving water, using less energy, producing recyclable products are some examples of the way we can move forward in creating more sustainable a more sustainable environment. Economic sustainability refers to the economy and the economic production. Essentially, we want to continue economic growth and be successful, negatively affecting social and environmental sustainability. While some may worry that growing the economy and increasing in the population has a negative impact on studies show that this can in fact be done without compromising other aspects. Social sustainability refers to creating a formal and informal processes, systems, structures, and relationships that allow food quality of life for everyone, a good quality of life for everyone. During these times, this falls heavily under diversity, equity, and inclusion in many ways. Accessibility to things like healthcare, human rights, community engagement, safe and healthy living conditions for everyone are some of the ways we can achieve social sustainability. Unequal access to clean environment to a clean environment based on racism is environmental racism. Environmental hazards are placed in communities of color, causing them to disproportionately be exposed to these things like pollution, lead poisoning, water contamination, and hazardous waste sites. The study from the 1983 showed 75% of hazardous waste sites were in low-income communities of color. Neighborhoods and communities of color tend to have lower property values. This means that it's cheaper for industrial companies to acquire land in these areas. This creates hazardous waste states being placed in these communities, ultimately leading to greater amount of air pollution. Air pollution tends to lead to illnesses, diseases, which are generally higher with black populations as opposed to white counterparts. The use of lead paint tends to be a prevalent in low-income communities. A report by the Safe Illinois showed that children in Chicago are Hispanic and African Americans, respectively, at 5 times and 12 times more likely to be poisoned by lead than their white counterparts. Another impact on environmental racism is commonly seen in communities of color is water contamination. NRDC reported that communities of color are more likely to suffer drinking water violations for years. These commons often have water systems that are not properly functioning, and although these systems violate the law, getting them fixed has become a hassle, often left unsolved due to racism. Millennials and Zers grew up in the unpredicted with unprecedented awareness of social and environmental issues, and they are leading the charge in creating a better environment for their generation and future generations to have a chance to in living their lives. Through organizations like Black Millennials for Flint, HBCU sustainability organizations, and social media influence, young people are advocating for sustainability, and HBCU students take part in this work. That's good to know. Howard University Student Association has a department solely dedicated to sustainability. Along with Houston's Sustainability Department, there are several other campus organizations at Howard fighting, educating students on climate justice. Among these organizations is Howard University's Water and Climate Action, which promotes sustainability living on campus by demonstrating the way sustainability can play into areas of life, providing community services, opportunities, and connecting students with environmental-oriented careers and networking opportunities. The Pre-Research Center reports that younger millennials and Z-Zenners are more active in the fight to address climate change than older generations. They are taking action both online and offline. Younger generations are using their voices via digital platforms, social media, to promote sustainability, massing the content of conversation, and rising and dominating the environmental initiatives. They are also the ones at the forefront for rallies and protests. Millennials and Gen Zers are frustrated and feel as if not enough is being done, so they are taking matters into their own hands to help build sustainable communities for generations after them. Now, this was a very well-written article by the young lady at Howard University's Hilltop. So anyone who wants to weigh in on this conversation or this particular article, you'll be able to find that particular article on our website at, once again, positivechangepc.com. And you'll be able to scroll down and you'll be able to find that. Now, we're going to sort of shift topics here. And if anyone wants to weigh in on this conversation, once again, you know that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And we're going to look towards environmental justice. This is another very, very interesting article, which was published by Narvina Jamerson, and it was published on April 22nd of 2022 in the online blog called Word in Black. It is my second week at the Word in Black. I still have a lot to learn, but I'm excited because I know that I have such an amazing team to learn from. And give that today's Earth Day, is today's Earth Day, we've been talking about Black environmentalists don't always get credit where they deserve. That's why I interviewed the founder of the Black Millennials for Flint about their new documentary, Towards Environmental Justice, the 9-minute film schools us on the true influences of Blacks and indigenous folks in the environmental justice movement. And you'll be able to find that particular article on our news and events. New documentary talks about the true story of black and brown environmentalists. Since founding in 1970, Earth has been an annual reminder to give thanks for natural resources that sustain our lives. But the environmental destruction and climate change disproportionately affecting people of color isn't always the opportunity to amplify the work black environmentalists and grassroots leaders who fight to protect our communities. But what does working toward environmental justice for our really look like? I've been working on environmental issues since I was a student, says Mustafa Santiago Ali, the Vice President of Environmental Justice, Climate, and Community Revitalization at the National Wildlife Federation. Whatever I can do to be of service and to continue to put spotlight on issues that are impacting our communities, but also the opportunities that exist in our communities to address health, wealth, I'm always down for the cause. I'm blessed to, and folks invited me into the space and that I was able to share a little bit, he says. San Diego is one of the activists featured in Towards Environmental Justice, a documentary short that follows 30 years of what's referred to as 17 principles of environmental justice. The core principles of the environmental justice movement from the perspective of blacks and indigenous groups. The mission of the 17 principles is to promote humanity and to advocate for access to non-toxic resources as basic human rights, committed to covering news that matters to the black community. Now, this is a very interesting. Black Millennials of Flint, a Memphis-based collaboration group that champions ending crisis of lead exposure to African Americans, Latinos, and communities, produced the film. It's imperative, especially as we are right here on Earth Day, for us to ground ourselves in the environmental justice principles, because to humanize the Earth Day, says Latricia Adams, the president of the BM4F group. The organization its roots is in community organization and activism that emerged in 2015-16 during the Flint water crisis. It's backed by passage of the legislation such as the DC Childhood Lead Prevention Amendment of 2017, runs as a lead prevention ambassador for the leadership program. Despite these achievements, black environmental activists such as the BM4F aren't often seen in news media, including on Earth Day. Throughout time, Earth Day, it's often marked as a very white targeted audience, Adams says. However, when we think about the 17 principles of environmental justice, it is a accumulation for the original stewards of the land, its governing principles, black folks, Latino folks, and indigenous folks. Over the course of the year, the organization shot the film in several locations throughout the country, touching the footage of experts admiring their homelands from New Mexico, Memphis, and Washington, D.C., offers viewers an intimate look into the strong connection between activists that with their environments, but instead of featured this story, the BM4F condensed the footage into a 9-minute video so that the knowledge presented can be conventionally accessible to all. The documentary short begins showing connections between the civil rights movement and the environmental justice movement through footage of Martin Luther King Jr. supporting the sanitary strike in 1968 in Memphis, both labor and environmental health issues. Decades later, black and brown environmental justice leaders, mostly youth and young adults, were seen gathering in the National People of Color Environmental Leadership Summit and drafted the 17 Principles of Environmental Justice. We are starting to see a lot of resources being regenerated through environmental justice, even from our current administration, Adams said. Indeed, the Biden administration recently made several promises to make toward better environmental justice practice by re-evaluating ineffective environmental justice organizations like the Environmental Protection Agency, and by funding organizations that truly work to better the environmental conditions for all communities. I'm glad to hear somebody of African-American descent is getting some funding from somewhere. A lot of the action stemmed from the powerful group Black and Brown people that were literally advocating for humanity in environmental justice is grounded in human rights and civil rights. Now is the time, more than ever, to really amplify history and how it should be governed. Our work today among this Mustafa San Diego Ali and Letitia Keisha D. Adams. The film also features Jade Begay and climate justice director of the NDN Collective and the Esther Sosa and Project Master, diverse partners of the Environmental Defense Fund. The BM4F will be hosting a special Facebook screening towards environmental justice during Earth Day, which will be held on the April 22nd. Also plans to provide towards justice and educational films that can be used throughout classrooms in the country. This needs to be in the history books. This needs to be a part of historical curriculums, not only K-12, also higher ed. It is a critical important that we make sure this does not fall through the cracks and sort Americans' tapestry of history, Adams said. Okay, well, this is very, very interesting. They named the Howard University Marshall Scholar on March 8th of 2022 in education, young lady from Howard University. And you had July environmental justice activists demand approval of environmental equality bill. And you'll find this article in the Word in Black, the 17 principles is also there, which we'll sort of get into that in a little bit. But I want you to weigh in if you're out there in the listening audience. You know our call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, our call-in number is 646-668-2948. Please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. And we're going to take a slight pause with the calls, and we'll be right back here on Solar Now in the Future with Economic Impact on Black America as we look at...
Life is a song worth singing, why don't you sing it? Life is a song worth singing, why don't you sing it? Hold the key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, back to the airways of Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, you know the slogan for this show: if there's power in numbers and the positive change purchasing cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, serves as an economic blueprint for self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar design, EV charge, EV manufacturing, installation, and workforce development, and other African-American-owned solar and renewable energy companies to address the high effects of energy costs at our historically black colleges and universities, to utilize black African-American-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the under and unemployment of young African-American men and women locally and nationally, also to educate the African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the African-American community through Black Talk radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. You also know that this show is brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, and you get more information on that initiative by logging on to our website at Positive Change, P as in Paul, C as in Cat.com. That's Positive Change, PC.com. And you also know that this show is also brought to you every week by the National Association of Blacks in Solar, and you can get more information on that organization by logging on to blacksandsolar.org. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we don't have a scheduled guest today, but we were talking about the principles of the environmental justice movement. And as it said, in this particular article, is well written. It was done in by Mrs. Nadrina Jameson, and it was published in The Word in Black. And they talked about the practical advice on how we can collectively begin to change things. And then we talked about toward justice. And in that particular article, it talked about various principles, 17 principles, that we're going to sort of touch upon. Now, these 17 principles begin by saying, we, the people of color, gathered together at this multinational People of Color Environmental Leadership Summit to begin to build a national and international movement for all people of color to fight destruction and taking of the land and communities, do hereby reestablish our spiritual independence to the sacredness of our Mother Earth, to respect and celebrate each of our cultures, language, and beliefs about the natural world and the roles of healing ourselves, to ensure environmental justice, to promote economic alternatives which could contribute to the development of environmental safe livelihoods, and to secure the political, economic, and cultural liberation that has been denied over 500 years of colonization, oppression resulting from the poisoning of our communities and the land and genocide of our people, to confirm, affirm, and adopt the principles of the environmental justice. The principles of environmental justice. Number one, environmental justice affirms the sacredness of Mother Earth, ecological unity, and the independence of species, and the right to be free from ecological destruction. Number two, environmental justice demands that the policy be based on mutual respect of justice for all people, free from the form of discrimination and bias. All of this is great. This is great information, ladies and gentlemen. And I could go through and read all of these things, which I'm going to continue to touch upon these things, and we're going to get all 17 of them sort of covered. But for the sake of conversation, we live, and whether folks of like me of African descent living in America want to face this, but the European mindset of those who came to this country and took this land from the Native Americans and basically put them on reservations and put them in the position that they are today. And our ancestors, as we were brought here in the bowels of slave ships, and the African, basically, we built this country, cares nothing about these issues. It sounds good, it sounds flowery, but let's look at the economics of it. We look at the war after war after war. We look at the Afghanistan, we're looking at Ukraine. Are these wars about what? They about resources, energy. Energy, energy, energy. And I have beat the drum on this platform time and time again around the fact that everything starts with energy and everything ends with energy. And when we begin to look at the whole that the party, which is known as the Republican Party, which I refer to as the gas, petroleum, and oil companies, that's who controls Congress. Make no mistake about it. Gas, oil, and coal industry, they control literally 85% of the market share for energy in the United States of America. The war in so-called Ukraine ain't got a damn thing to do with democracy. This is about the fact that the largest nuclear power plant in Europe is located in Ukraine. This is about Russia's oil pipeline and them supplying oil to all of those European countries. This is what this is about. Don't get it confused. Everybody else makes money around that because what it happens, they go to war over these resources. This is what this is about. All of these other things about aristocracies versus democracies, when we begin to look at the division of wealth in the United States of America, between the white Anglo-Saxon population and the African-American population, there's no difference. So we want to make this real plain as we begin to go through these environmental principles of justice. They sound great and it's flowery and they have all the bells and whistles about justice, but this is not a moral society. This is society is based on the economics. And if you don't believe it, if you drive a vehicle, go to the gas pump, go to the grocery store, look at everything that we see, touch, and feel for daily survival, and energy is at the backdrop of why the cost of everything is what it is. I have to connect the dots and be realistic. This show is called Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America. The problem I have with the environmental justice piece is where is the Green Economic Development Plan in the implementation of the Biden infrastructure plan when there are billions of dollars being spent right now around these issues? And 99.9% of African-American businesses that aren't even in this arena. When we begin to look in the solar industry, we're talking about over 9,000 firms doing business. We have less than 35 African-American-owned firms. We got to get real, ladies and gentlemen, and connect the dots. Ownership and begging for a job. All of these things are great, but if we don't educate and prepare our young people with the certifications that you need, because you don't need a four-year degree to make six figures in renewable energy sector. If you get your certification as an electrician and you want to go out and start your own business, if you are a veteran, by using the GI Bill to get you a vehicle and get those certifications and contract with any of the EV charging companies, and they need talented young people who can do the wiring for residential and commercial EV charging station infrastructure. You're talking about billions of $500 million being pumped in that arena right now in order to put in the infrastructure, charging infrastructure on our interstate and our byways and freeways if we're going to truly combat climate change. So I have to be responsible when I get behind this mic to sort of remind people how this plays into this environmental justice piece. Now, environmental justice calls for universal protections from nuclear testing, extractions, production, and disposal of toxic and hazardous waste and poisons, and nuclear testing that threaten the fundamental right to clean air and land and water. Okay? Environmental justice confirms environmental rights to potential economic, cultural, environmental self-determination for all people. Environmental justice demands that the cessation of production of toxins, hazardous waste, and radioactive material, and that all past and current producers be held strictly accountable to the people for detoxification and the contaminant production. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I will assure you, nuclear energy has a powerful lobby. Environmental justice demands the rights to participate as equal partners at every level of decision-making, including need assessment, planning, implementation, enforcement, and evaluation. Well, that comes back to how deep is your pockets? Because we have the best political system that money can buy in America. And you got a two-party system. And it's not a hell of a lot of difference between either one of them when you step to that hill. Because the reality of the political system is when you go to see a congressman or senator, if you want to talk to them, what they will tell you, how much money have you contributed to my reelection campaign? What have you done? And if you're not of that elected official, they really don't want to hear what you got to say unless you are talking with constituents from their electoral district that impacts them at the poll. Solar now and the future with its economic impact on Black America. We're talking about this. These all play into the issue of why aren't there more African Americans in the renewable energy business. Environmental justice protects the rights of victims of environmental injustice to receive full compensation and reparations for damages as well as quality and health care. Well, all this sounds great. That was number nine. Number 10, consider governmental acts of environmental injustice a violation of international law, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and the United Nations Convention on Genocide. Well, that's great, but who funds the United Nations? You got to always follow the money and understand who is paying for what, because those have the goal will make the rule. Environmental justice must recognize a special legal and natural relationship between Native peoples of the United States government through treaties, agreements, compacts, and covenants affirming sovereignty and self-determination. Well, I feel that that needs to be applicable to Africans in this country, as Dr. Claude Anderson says in his book, Black Labor, White Wealth. We are special people based on what we've already contributed in 400 years building this country. 12, environmental justice affirms the need for urban and rural ecological practices to clean up and rebuild our cities and rural areas in the balance with nature, honoring the culture integrity of all our communities, and provide fair access to all full range of resources. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Have you checked what rent is in these urban markets where our college students are going to school? We've got a tremendous number of students that are homeless. All of these things are interrelated to the principles that we're talking about here. Environmental justice calls for strict environmental and principles of informed consent and to halt the testing of experimental reproductive and medical procedures and vaccinations on people of color. Well, we just went through this with the so-called plandemic with COVID-19 and how black folks were being ostracized because a lot of black people didn't want to take that vaccination. And we say the Tuskegee experiment. Environmental justice opposes destructive operations and multinational corporations. Environmental justice opposes military occupations, repressions, and exploitations of lands of people and cultures and other life forms. Well, European values does not look at that. They can care less than a damn about this. Their whole concept is world domination and how much I control and what's in it for me. And if we begin, truly, if we can talk about the competitiveness in the so-called American society, it's not a competition. Because if you don't have the same resources I have, and we're competing after the same thing. Those who have the goal will make the rule. Plus, I can set up the guidelines and write and define who's what based on who I want to have what. And this is what goes on in policy every day. We understand that here at the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative. And when we come behind this mic and we produce this show every week, Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America, I think we got to look at all this is great. Now, environmental justice opposes the destructive operations of multinational corporations. We said that. Environment number 16, environmental justice calls for education, present and future generations, which emphasize social and environmental issues based on the experience and the appreciation of our diverse perspectives. Well, environmental justice number 17 requires that we as individuals make personal and consumer choices to consume as little of Mother Earth resources as we produce, as little waste as possible, and make concise decisions to challenging and to tying our lifestyles to ensure health of the natural world and present future generations. Okay, and it says for more information on environmental justice, environmental racism can be found online at www.ejnet.org/EJ/. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, We've all been young, and we understand the perspective of time and space. But one of the things that we do a very poor job in the African-American community is educating our young people about the economics of things, economically work. And if you want to be a part of something, if you don't own it and control it, then you can't dictate anything about it. And these are the issues, as the little boy said, these are the breaks. And when we began to look in at this society outside of the entertainment industry, where we have been as athletes in sports, as entertainers in the performing industry, whether it be the musical industry, these are the areas which Europeans have allowed us to make some real money in order to move it forward. But when we began to look at the real situation as it relates to what really matters, the owner of Tesla, and I'll think of his name in a minute, Elon Musk, just paid $44.2 billion for Twitter. And because of that, did you see what happened to the stock exchange today? We have to look at the economics and who and what is going on. And believe me, Elon Musk could care less than a damn about any of these 17 principles here. This is what we are up against. This environmental justice movement is up against, ladies and gentlemen. So it's great. It's flowery. But we have to understand our colleges and universities and the churches are our biggest institutions in this country. And I was on a Zoom call on yesterday and I with the Small Business Development Center from Howard University. And it was talking about analysis and competition in business. And I listened to all of the businesses that people talked about. But when it came to renewable energy and the growth industry, solar, wind, we're not in these sectors. And I can tell you, as the president of the National Association of Blacks in Solar, those few African-American-owned firms in this arena are catching hell to survive. So if we're talking about combating climate change and this Justice of 40 initiative that has been put out by the Biden administration that says that 40% of the benefits have to go to communities of color, what the hell does that really mean to the African-American community? When it was made very clear to me through EPA that it doesn't mean dollars or cents, it means you got to compete against larger white colleges and universities for these grants and these opportunities. You got to apply for these grants. And I can tell you, I just went down the road with this process and pulling together a national team to go after funding under the Good Jobs Challenge under the Department of Commerce, Economic Development Administration. And it's not an easy thing to get done, especially when you're working with folks of African descent and how we have been programmed to not even listen. And even more what is more disturbing is how the black female and the black male have been have been pitted against each other. And in America, we don't look, this is not that no male-dominated society when it comes to black folks. That's just a bunch of BS. They placed, in, the Europeans have designed and socially engineered this society where the black woman has more value than the black male and has the authority and place this position of power and control by giving her the opportunities over black males. And it wreaks havoc in our community because with no black men in the homes and most of the homes being run by black women who have little or no respect in this country for their own men based on how much money that individual makes. And they make damn sure that we don't, as black young black males, that all of these other stumbling blocks are put in our way. And then we're played, one is played against the other. If you go into the athletic arena and people jump up and say, well, why do the young white black entertainers and black athletes marry white women? Well, you have to look at how they're culturally groomed. I come out of a sports background. I can tell you that it's not an accident when you send your son to a historically white college and university, if he and he's not going to get in there unless he is shown that he has the potential to play at the highest level. These young white girls are basically put on these black athletes in a lot of environments they end that they're in, because it's all about controlling. How does this money go back to the majority community? And once you have children, I don't care who you are in America, boss, when that female goes down that court and starts crying, and Lord knows if she is of European descent and you're of African-American descent, male, the judge ain't trying to hear nothing. You got to say is, why haven't you paid this, whatever it is? Now, we are going to always speak truth to power on this platform. That's what makes it different than any place else. I know that this show is called Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America, but we have to change it up sometimes for our listening audience or for those who care to listen or want to listen. These are realities in the African-American community. The economic impacts of energy is being at the forefront in the American economy right now. And the gas oil companies, they understand that they are on their last, and it's going to take some time before this society is able to wean itself off of gas, oil, and coal, as well as nuclear power, because nuclear is considered a clean source of energy, but you still have nuclear waste, and you still have issues with even clean energy. What happens to the turbines after their use? What's going to happen with the solar panels after their use? They have to find a way to either recycle these things or landfills to put them in. And based on the economics of how Europeans think, whichever is more cost effective, that's what they're going to do. And then you get the problems as these contaminants leak into the soil and the land and the water. This is the reality that we're dealing with, ladies and gentlemen. I don't have all the answers to that, but I surely can come on and we can put it out there and you can understand that. So this concludes our show for the day, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, this industry is brought to you, this is brought to you every week by whom? It's brought to you by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative. And you know the slogan for this show. If it's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, captures that power for your financial benefit. Now, the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, serves as an economic blueprint for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar design, EV charge, EV manufacturing, installation, workforce development, and other African-American-owned renewable energy companies to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically black colleges and universities, to utilize African-American-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses, to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects, to bring down the under and unemployment of young African-American men and women locally and nationally, also to educate the African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the black community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on black America. Also is brought to you by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSHBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. You can get more information on that initiative by logging on to PositiveChangePC.com. Go over to our GoFundMe link and you'll find that information. Also, the National Association of Blacks in Solar, which I am the sitting president, and that is a whole nother piece that I could do hell of a six-month show talking about the issues in the solar industry as it relates to African-Americans in the solar industry. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank those of you who will come on to our platform and will listen to our show and be conscious of the fact that we are here every week trying to do what? Bring you news that you can definitely use here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And we look forward to you not beating us here every week, but meeting us here on this platform, Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Now, before we go off the airways here, we got to make sure that we have, as Little Boy said, dotted all our I's and crossed all our T's, because we have to sort of close out here as it relates to the day show. And we want to thank those of you who join us on a regular basis for just that, as we are trying to close out the show for today on another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And we don't want you to meet us back here next week. We want you to be this back here as we close another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact.
Someone singing, I can sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold the key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Singing, I got you, singing.